is the Lions Unchained podcast, where the shackles of your mind are broken. There comes a time when we either embrace the truth or remain in darkness forever. The Lions Unchained podcast offers you the light of God's truth. The rest is up to you. Join Carl Joseph now for a powerful, life-changing word.
Friend, this is part two of Trusting God for His Best. Let's join me now, live in session. When you say it out loud, you cast your care, you're empowering the spirit man on the inside of you by saying it over yourself. You're agreeing with the word, amen? So, we were believing for a house a few years ago. That looks like Marge Simpson's house, but this isn't the house. But faith has got to be practical. You know, we got to be believing for stuff. You know, we can have knowledge, but we're still going to engage in the faith realm. We're going to believe for some stuff. So I was believing for a house, you know, had an idea of what it would look like, had my heart set on this thing. But all the while we were praying, Lord, we want your perfect will. We want your perfect will. That's what we were praying. And basically, this house of my dreams, man, was sold to somebody else. And I was like, we miss God. We miss God. We're in trouble. I knew that was it. We didn't pray hard enough, right? Faith mode goes into your brain, whatever. So later on, the Lord said to me, what was wrong with that house? And I was like, nothing at all. We missed it. I'm so bummed, etc. No. He said, what is wrong with it? And when I actually looked at it in more detail and thought about it, I was compromising what I wanted. I was making some compromises. Right? And he's saying, son, I'm not going to give that to you because that's not your heart's desire, okay? Now, this is a big thing. It's a house. It's a life event, all right? When we actually found our home, it still wasn't that inside of me, wow, this is awesome. I liked it a lot, but it wasn't, the confirmation wasn't there. When I was in Bible college, for some reason, I was just praying one day and I saw like a glimpse of the front of a house with a tree on the left. I could see the house. It had a deck. And I saw this glimpse with a lawn. And I was like, wow, what is that? And then I saw the inside of it as well. But the moment I walked into this house, that's exactly what I saw. I saw the banister in a certain position. I knew this was the one. But as time has gone on, it's definitely, it's an awesome home for us. And it's confirmed in my heart that that is the one, okay? But sometimes there's disappointments, right? We don't always get what we want initially because you have to realize that he has his best for you. Amen? He has his best. We got to be open. We got to be pliable. This is a benign example for a home, okay? There's 1,000 examples we could use. Whatever you're believing God for, be open to adjustments in what you're believing and also open in your heart towards God. You know, maybe there's some wounding that needs to be resolved. And I found that when I go through some sort of correction or a chastisement that's positive, right after that, there's a breakthrough. He has the stuff, but he's wanting the character to be addressed to move into that promotion, all right? Amen? How would we pray for God's perfect will? Someone said, good is often the enemy of best. Some people compromise. Oh, that's good. Well, you could have had best. Don't you want best? No, I'll settle for good. The thing is, later on, you find out, you're like, man, okay, I could have gone for best. So this is how I would pray. Let's choose an arbitrary example for a motor vehicle. Father, I need a car. You know my heart better than anyone. This is the kind of car that I want, but I want your perfect choice for me. Add that caveat in. Your word says that you will meet my needs, right? You got to stand on the word. Whenever you petition the Father, you have to come with what he said as a backup for what you're believing for. You need to have word for what you're believing for, okay? If someone says to me, I'm believing for this, I'm saying, what verse are you standing on? Well, nothing in particular. Well, that's what you're going to get, nothing in particular, right? You have to be specific, all right? The how and the when is up to him. The how and the when is not up to you. It's up to him, okay? That's the compromise. Things can work out wonderfully, but it's never the way you thought it was going to be, right? And that's the point. You have to trust him in the process of the believing. That's the difficult part, all right? So we have to believe we receive when we pray as well. Mark 11:24, very famous verse, right? What sort of things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You don't believe them when you get it. You believe it when you pray. You believe it at the time when you pray. Amen? Very important. So if you don't believe that you can receive this thing when you pray, don't pray it. In other words, build up your faith in an area and then believe when you're ready. That's very important, because you, on the flip side of prayer is wounding. Well, I prayed and it didn't happen and I'm ticked off and I don't know why. Maybe it's because you hadn't built up your faith in that area before you prayed. I mean, this is very elementary, I know, but it's important, right? Jesus said, "Be it unto you according to as you have believed." So our belief system comes into play, and many denominations don't even want to acknowledge that. You know, there's many verses in the Gospels where Jesus talked about the corresponding action of the person. You stretched out your hand, arise up and walk, right? A response. But we don't want to respond many times, and we're going, well, why do we not receive? So, yeah, my brother, who's called Adam, not this Adam. So anyway, I'm believing for this car, right? I moved to the U.S. I wanted a Trans Am, something nice, something shimmery, something fast, right? Represent. And so I'm believing for the Trans Am, and I went to the place, and he's like, you don't even have credit history, man. I can't even give you this car, okay? You're a foreigner. Anybody outside of Texas is a foreigner, basically. He's like, go away. So I was like, okay, great. So I went off. You know, I had a good job and stuff. I mean, I had the cash, but, you know, it was like, nope, it's not going to happen. Went home for Christmas. I started believing. I said, God, I want this car. I want this car. I'm believing you. I'm standing on Philippians 4:19. I'm believing for a Trans Am. It's got to be blue, okay? It's got to be go faster stripes, amen? Alloy wheels. So the shallowness of the pastor came out, and then he's like, so I got in prayer, I got this word, and the Lord says, okay, you want that car? Yeah. Now, I had a car in England, okay, so I'd moved to the UK, I couldn't transport it, it was a BMW, it was only about 2 years old, it was a sweet ride, about 6 inches from the ground, it was an ex-ambassador's car, it looked the bomb. Anyway, the Lord says, yeah, give that car to your brother, just give it to him, don't even sell it. I'm like, whoa, I rebuke you, devil, whoo! I rebuke you, man. I bind you in Jesus' name. So that was the end of that. Next day, I'm like, Lord, I want that car. He's like, yep, give it to your brother. You'll have the car. I'm like, man, I did not want to I didn't want to sell the car, let alone give it, okay? Now, my brother, you know, he needed one at the time. He didn't really tell me. His old, clapper, his Peugeot RXI was on its last wheels, and he wasn't really sharing it. And it turned out that he really needed this car. And I did buckle before, on the last day before I went back, I was there for like 10 days. I said, look, I'll give you the car. And he's like, what? You're going to give me that car, et cetera? You know, represent, handshake, men bonding, brotherly love, all that stuff. So I went home kicking and screaming, ticked off. You know, God, I can't believe I just threw like, you know, 10 grand away. Or are you kidding me? I'm just being real with you, okay? And so I went back to Houston, and I was just looking at the TV, and this dealership kept coming up, and I'm like, and the commercials were so cheesy, you know, they looked like, hey, man, come here, we'll give you a sweet deal, you know. I was like, no, the Lord's like, go there. I was like, So I just let it ride for about a month. He's like, go there, you'll get a deal. I walked in the door, and this guy just came up to me very friendly, shook hands with me. I described what I wanted. He's like, okay, yeah, that's quite the vehicle. And he's like, well, let me run your credit. And I was like, sure, here's my social security number. He came back. He's like, you don't have any credit. I was like, yeah, that's correct. He's like, normally I would never do this. Do you go to church? I was like, are you a believer in God? I was like, yeah. And he goes, it turns out that this guy was the guy who sold John Osteen every one of his Cadillacs, was the guy I was talking to right in front of me. He's like, so he tried to win me over to Christ. He started talking about Jesus to try and see if I was saved or not. We established I was saved. And I said, yeah, I go to Lakewood Church right now. Interesting. So let me just go off and talk to my boss. He comes back about 15 minutes later. I could tell they were having a heated debate there. It wasn't like a casual conversation. He was really, you know, going back and forth. And he just came out. He said, you know what? We can do something. We can do something this one time. That dealership had never done this before. They'd never sold a car of that value without any credit whatsoever. And so praise God, it happened, all right? And me and that guy, we laid hands on that car. We prayed in the Holy Ghost before we drove away. Now listen to that. What are the chances of that? But I had to give away a BMW. No, I'm over it. I had to give the car away, all right? It required a sacrifice, right? Some of us don't want to sacrifice. If we do exactly what God says, he's going to do it, all right? And that's really the difficulty, is we don't want to actually do what he says, all right? And if we ignore what he says, we don't get what we want, all right? And then we get upset, all right? So if you are believing God for something right now, and you've reached a point of resistance, and it's taken a long while, you might want to just check in with him and say, Lord, am I missing something here? Should I make an adjustment? All right. I'm not saying that is the case, but it could be the case. All right. So we need to be open. We need to be pliable. We need to be sensitive, right? And, you know, people love the timing question, right? When is this going to happen? When's that going to happen? Have you found that God doesn't really answer those questions? Acts 1:7, Jesus said to the disciples, it is not for you to know the times of the season which the Father has put in his own power. Whoa. That was in reference to when are you coming back, right? He was about to just sail off into the sunset. And they're like, hey, when are you going to come back? He's like, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons, all right? And there's times and seasons in our life. The word for time, there's two words. There's chronos and kairos. Chronos is chronology. It's the day-to-day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 2018, 19, 20. Then there's special kairos times, which are times set aside by God where special things happen in our lives, all right? I have a separate teaching on that, but we want to embrace the kairos moments, going into a new room at Hope Community Church. That's a kairos moment. Boom, tonight. It's not just another mundane Wednesday night. No, 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 no. This is our kairos time, all right? And next week, we will have coffee, fresh coffee available in the corner, okay? So we have to be patient in order to see God's perfect will manifest. It's the patient side, right? And then just as we're getting impatient, it's time to have Ishmael. Then we're going to change his diapers. And man, that Ishmael's a drag. Man, he stinks. I've been with him for 12 years. You didn't have to have Ishmael in the first place. But some people are carrying Ishmael around, right? They made that decision, and now they're going to live with it. And we don't want that, friend. We don't want Ishmael, okay? We want to wait for Isaac, and sometimes it can take a while. It can take a while. Right? It's through faith and patience that we inherit the promise. Remember that. Hebrews 6, 12 and 13. Faith and patience. And what is patience? It's waiting well. Right? Otherwise, you would say it's through faith and waiting that we inherit the promise. No, it's patience, which is waiting well. How many have got patience down? Anybody else? Thank you for your honesty, brother. You are welcome to come back anytime. Amen. Brother Hagin would say, and now this is powerful, the Lord spoke to him. He said, I'd rather my people be one step behind me than two steps in front. Now listen to that. It's better to be nudged from behind and get that little pat on the tush from the Lord. You know, I told you to do that. Now it's the time. It's better to be that way than I'm going to run 16 steps in this direction and hope God's in it. How many have done that? Everybody in the room. You know, well, I just assumed that God was in that. Amen. He was not in that, and it can be quite stressful when you find out that he isn't, right? Okay. All joking aside, we really need to get a hold of this, that sometimes even when we're asking the Lord stuff, we want to know when and how it's going to happen, and frankly, it's not for you to know that. They're in his hands, all right? It's up to us to trust him. It's that old-timey trust. And so one of the Hebrew idioms for trusting is to lean. But see, whenever you lean, you make a commitment. As soon as you're there, you're going to fall over unless someone helps you, unless somebody is there to hold you. And the Lord wants you to make that commitment. But the trouble is, we're like this. I trust you, Lord. We'll pick it up again tomorrow. Until tomorrow, good night, God bless, and remember to spread the good news.
You've been listening to Carl Joseph and the Lions Unchained podcast. Carl is a minister who's witnessed God's supernatural power to save, heal, and deliver. Carl is a unique researcher who investigates current affairs, societal trends, technology, cults, and end-time events, all through a biblical lens. Every Monday, new podcasts are uploaded, so stay tuned for the next opportunity to roar into victory. Check out carljosephministries.com for exciting articles, teachings, and discussion points. See you next week. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button.